You're listening to NewsHour. The billionaire activist investor Carl Icahn has sold his many millions of Apple shares, not because he's unhappy about the way the company's managed, but because he doesn't like the fact that it's so exposed to China, when China can be so tough on foreign companies. Earlier this month, China shut down Apple's iTunes movies and iBook stores within the country, following Beijing's introduction of regulations imposing strict curbs on online publishing, particularly for foreign firms. And then there are the widespread concerns over the dominance of Chinese SOEs, state-owned enterprises. Linda Yu is adjunct professor at the London Business School, and Dr. Robert Atkinson is president of the Washington-based think tank, the Information Technology and Innovation Fund. So to him first, is China actually protectionist?
I would call them both protectionist and go farther and call them technology mercantilists.
Do you think they're breaking international trading rules?
Absolutely.
And yet with no sanction?
That is correct. Part of the problem is to bring a case at the WTO. A company has to lead the case or at least provide evidence. And the companies who are doing business in China know that if they do that, they will be punished by the Chinese government. So they don't bring cases, and national governments won't bring cases independently. And so we're just stuck, and China gets to do what they want to do.
Linda Yu, that's a very tough assessment. Do you agree with it?
Whether it violates the WTO, I think we'd have to look closely at whether or not it is not a level playing field. And one of the arguments, and I don't buy this argument in particular, but one of the arguments that China has always posed when somebody says they're violating international trading rules is that they agree to provide a level playing field for private firms. So they treat, in my view, badly private firms that are both domestic and foreign. So it tends to be the state-owned firms that get a leg up. For instance, Apple relies on its data storage, iCloud, that business to begin to drive some of its sales as its hardware, so the iPhone and the iPad and what have you, begin to plateau in terms of sales. But China shut down their online presence because they have decreed that foreign companies cannot have a presence online. So it's that kind of measure that makes you think they're treating foreign companies similarly to how they treat Chinese private companies, which are behind the Great Firewall.
Okay, well, let's put that back to you then, Robert. It's not so much anti-foreign companies, it's more just controlling, and all domestic and foreign companies are affected.
Well, I don't agree with that on two grounds. One is to say that they favor the SOEs. That's like saying they favor most of their economy, particularly in the tech space. A lot of the SOEs have grown. For example, if you look at the Chinese new semiconductor plan, what they call Document 4, this is a $100 billion subsidy to SOEs, basically take the place of companies like Intel. So that's a pretty serious, massive subsidy that they're putting in place. Secondly, the Chinese government has had a stated policy, what they call the DIOE campaign, and the I is IBM, O is Oracle, E is EMC. The policy is let's reduce the amount that Chinese companies are buying from IBM, Oracle, and EMC and replace it with Chinese-owned companies. That is an anti-foreign policy, not just an anti-business policy.
If the United States behaved in the same way as you think China behaves now, what sort of thing would the US be doing to protect its industry? Give us that illustration.
Well, we never would do that, nor could we do that. And the reason we couldn't do that, for example, if a U.S. government agency tried to do anything like what the Chinese government agencies are doing, a foreign company would sue them in U.S. court and they would win. You can't do that in China. You just simply don't have access to the courts because the courts always side with the Chinese government position here. So we could never do it. Secondly, if we did it, other countries would take us to the WTO, and we wouldn't retaliate against foreign companies in the U.S. We just don't do that, nor does Europe do that, and most places don't do that. So the Chinese have a real advantage in the sense they don't really have the rule of law, and they have a massive, massive market that they can use to control the behavior of foreign companies.
Linda?
The one thing I will add is that China has an explicit policy to develop national champions. That's their going global policy over the past decade, to make their companies internationally competitive. When challenged on it, they would point to national champions from the likes of France, for instance, or even Samsung from Korea, which has a lot of implicit government backing, to say this is something a developing country ought to be able to do.
What about this business of stealing other companies' technology and intellectual property. I mean, that happens, right? And the Chinese courts are never going to back the foreign companies.
The Chinese government in the last 18 to 24 months have significantly ratcheted up the pressure on foreign technology companies to turn over very, very valuable technology. And if they don't turn it over, they get sued under the anti-monopoly law. They get kicked out of the market. They get things like what happened to iTunes, the monopoly case against Microsoft. So they know that they have a real lever against the U.S. foreign companies. And so these companies are having to turn over very valuable technology to their Chinese competitors. That's what I'm saying is really a violation of the WTO.
Do you think this is something that's changing as time passes and China gets more and more integrated into the world system or not?
I think a lot of people thought it was changing, but I think with the current administration in China, it's actually devolving rather than evolving. It's getting worse, and that's what's really troubling.
So, I don't know, if you had 48 million shares in Apple, which maybe you do, you might be tempted to sell them as well?
I do very badly in the stock market, so I couldn't say. What I can say is Carl Icahn is right in the sense of seeing that the threat to U.S. technology companies in China, at least for the foreseeable future, looks like it's only going to get worse.
I think I certainly don't have that kind of investment, but I think Carl Icahn's concern is partly profit-taking from a company that he said he's made something like $2 billion
from quite his well
investment.
On that,
yeah, and so a bit of it is taking money out. He's expressing a concern, I think, much more perhaps about the rise of not only the issues we've talked about, but the rise of Chinese competitors to Western companies like Apple. So if you look globally, of the top five smartphone makers, the top one is Samsung, the second one is Apple. The next three are all Chinese companies, two of which you've probably never heard of before, Oppo and Vivo. And they've knocked out Xiaomi, which had been one of the top five providers. And if you look within China, Apple's lost its perch as the biggest smartphone seller in China. It's lost it to two Chinese companies. And that trend, I think, picks up partly the difficulty of high-priced products like Apple, but also the fact that Chinese private firms are furiously innovating, regardless of the bad protection of intellectual property. And I think that kind of competition, as we know, tech companies, it's very difficult to hang on to your crown. And lots of people worry that peak Apple has been reached and Apple is not going to be able to hang on to being the world's most valuable company for much longer. It's hard to be growing when you're already worth over $550
billion. Linda Yu there, and also Dr. Robert Atkinson.